of glasses somewhere around here because I'm old. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 16. If you listen quick, I'll be done quick. If you listen slow, if it takes us a while to get out of here, it's your fault. I need somebody to help me. We like to blame everything on everybody else, right? Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. We'll begin our reading in verse number 19. So if you'll get to Luke chapter number 16, we'll begin our reading in verse number 19. I told you over the last 2 weeks, there's been some things, actually last week, a little over a week, some things that have transpired that got me on this passage of Scripture. Wednesday night, we looked at it briefly as we preached on opportunities this past Wednesday night. But today, I'd like to take a look at it, break down this very familiar passage of Scripture to us. Probably all of us, if we've been in church any amount of time, has heard this story. But there's some things that we'll miss if we're not careful because of our own prejudices. And I'll explain that here in a little bit. If you was here Wednesday night, you know where I'm headed with this already. But as we look at chapter number 16 in Luke, if you have a red letter Bible, you will notice that this entire parable is going to be written in red, which means that Jesus spoke of it. I need everybody to look at me. If you don't have one, that's fine. My other Bible, it doesn't have the red letter, and it's just as much God's Word as this one is, all right? But if you do have a red letter Bible, if you do have the words of Christ in red, you will notice that this story is in red, which means that Jesus spoke it. Everybody with me? Now, there might be, you know, I don't know how you feel about the Bible or how you feel about Christ, but according to Scripture, He is the Creator. Not only our Savior, but He's the Creator. Colossians chapter number 1 tells us that all things were created by Him and for Him. In Revelation, we learn that He created all things, and we are a product of that, and we are created for His pleasure. So as we look at this, I want you to know this. The one that formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and the one that breathed life into Adam is telling a story here. He gives us a story. Some call it a parable. You can call it a parable if you like. But this is not a fictional story and it's not an illustrative story. We know this because in the story, He uses the name of an individual. And the Creator of the universe wouldn't have just pulled out a name. He wouldn't have just told a story and just pulled out some name. I mean, if He was going to do it that way, then He would have done it no different than He did with the rich man when He called him a certain rich man instead of giving us His name. Now, I think there's some pretty good stuff right there surrounding the reason why that rich man was not named. And we'll talk about it later. Maybe, hopefully, if I remember, if I don't remember, if you'll come to me after the service, it's too good to forget. I'm telling y'all, it's good. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, we want to look at it in a little different. We want to look at it. I grew up, I have heard this preached, and I have been around it enough to think my whole life that this rich man was a vile and wicked man. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's because of our own spiritual bias. We look at it and we said, oh, he must have been very, very bad. But Jesus doesn't say anything bad about the man. I mean, all he says in Scripture is that In thy lifetime, you received good things, and in Lazarus, he evil. But it doesn't say you were a bad person. Y'all with me? So, in other words, this rich man, he wasn't on America's Most Wanted. And somebody help me. This rich man wasn't a criminal. He wasn't a criminal for being rich. Matter of fact, when I looked at this story and I read this story and I took off my spiritual blinders, my religious blinders that say, oh, if somebody is rich, they are blessed, or somebody goes to hell, they're the worst. And what I looked at once I got all that junk out of my head and looked at the passage of scripture, this man knew Lazarus's name. We look at it like he just treated Lazarus as bad as that. I need somebody to help me. Hey, how many homeless people do you pass on the road every day and you don't know their name? And yet this rich man, he knew who Lazarus was. Led me to believe that maybe there was some conversation. I'm going to need y'all to help me. I know you're all in shock right now because he was supposed to be a bad guy. He was supposed to be the worst person that ever walked the face of the earth. And yet, he knew Lazarus. He knew his name. He knew a beggar. How did he know a beggar's name? Well, he laid outside of the gate begging for food. Everybody all right? Stay with me as we read the passage of scripture. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Now, if you're mad about me saying that word, I want you to remember who's speaking here. No, I'm going to need more than three people to say Jesus, all right? Who is speaking here? I'm going to need everybody. Help me out right here, whether you like it or not. I want you to help me out right here. Who is speaking? So don't get mad at your preacher. Take it up with Jesus. You can explain to him how he was wrong in saying that. I need somebody to help me. The Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Who's speaking? And Jesus tells us that this man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And then Jesus tells us that part of those torments were a flame. The flame, as a matter of fact, is spoken of in such a manner by the rich man that he said one drop of water from the tip of Lazarus' finger would bring relief. Who's speaking? He goes on and he says, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. That word keeps showing up. Who said it? And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of, say it with me again. Who's speaking? Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know what he's saying? Read your Bible. Look at you, man. That was good. Read your Bible. That's exactly what he's saying. You have Moses. You have the Pentateuch. You have the first five books of the Bible, and you have the prophets. You have the Old Testament. That's what he's saying. They got the Word of God, and they got men of God. Everybody ready? And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I need somebody to help me. if somebody shows up from the dead at my house, you're going to be dead again. Or I'm going to be out of bullets. I need somebody to help me. In Jesus' name, it is appointed unto man once to die. Don't be showing up in my house talking about, hey, preacher, I came back. Mm-mm. Last verse and we're done. Last verse, verse number 31. And he said unto them, or unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Who's speaking?
Jesus.
Who rose from the dead?
Jesus.
And yet people today are still not repenting.
That's right.
People are still not persuaded. Is everybody with me? We've looked at this passage of scripture and all of our life we have villainized the rich man. Oh, he got what he deserved. He was rich in this life. Bible says he was clothed in purple and fine linen and he fared sumptuously every day, while a man who laid at his gate begged for crumbs had sores all over him. Dogs licking on his sores, and yet we have made the rich man out to be a villain. Because in our mind it makes sense for somebody that's bad to go to hell. I need somebody to help me. In our mind, it just makes sense that, hey, if somebody is bad, then it makes sense that they went to hell. But Jesus never gave us the details to tell us that this man was bad. He just told us that he was a rich man and there's no sin in being rich. Matter of fact, the one that he was talking to in paradise, Abraham, he was the richest man in the world. I mean, let's just be honest about it. It wasn't because he was rich that he went to hell. But yet the mentality of a lot of people is that when somebody has something, then obviously they got Jesus. If God's blessing them like that, they got all that money. They're faring sumptuously every day. They got good clothes. They got all this. Obviously, God is blessing them. I mean, we have got this thing so messed up. We've been talking about it in my Sunday school class and talking about looking on the outward appearance. And boy, aren't we guilty of that? We look at somebody that's had some bad decisions and made some bad decisions and God's judgment's on their life. We look at somebody else that seems to have everything going their way, all the riches you could possibly want. Oh, God's blessing them. But Jesus literally deals with us in our own head. He contrasts two different worlds. I mean, you can't get farther apart than a rich man who has everything he could possibly want, all the nice clothes that he could possibly have. And by the way, he was dressed in purple and fine linen. I mean, there's an argument to be made there that there was some royalty in that. And here this man was, he fared sumptuously every day, which means that every single meal, every single day, he ate of the finest food. I need somebody to help me. No peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for him. No ham sandwiches for y'all. Come on, no ramen noodles on that plate. I mean, my man was eating some good food. He probably eating some lobster. He probably had steak, not just any steak. I need somebody to help me. We ain't talking about those little steaks that we can now afford. Them little sirloins. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You throw at your wife and hurt her, or throw at your husband and hurt him. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to be careful when you put them on the plate because it might break the plate. No, I mean, this man's having him a time with filet mignon. He's having him a time, I mean, eating, according to the Bible, faring sumptuously every single day. And Jesus contrasts him with one of the most, come on, y'all, help me. I mean, does it not turn your stomach to think that a man with sores all over him is being licked by dogs? I want you to notice that the Bible says this about the man, that he was laid by the gate of the rich man. That means this man couldn't even walk. He couldn't get to where he was going. Somebody brought him and laid him at that gate. He was full of sores and the dogs came and licked, and all he wanted was crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. We made him out. We made the rich man to be out some villain. Man, he was just a bad person. But the fact of the matter was, his sin wasn't being rich. He had a heart condition. And he knew more about the beggars that he come across than many of us know about the ones that we come across. So I'm thinking he had a little bit of compassion there. There's nothing that said that he didn't give the man crumbs. There's nothing that said that he didn't do things for Lazarus. I mean, yeah, he didn't take him in. But have you? Oh, I know. They didn't like that one, man. I can see it all over their face. Hey, they didn't. Hey, we. Why didn't he take Lazarus in? When was the last time you took a beggar in? I need somebody to help me. When was the last time you pulled off at exit 16 and stopped at the stoplight and said, "Hey, buddy, get in. I'm going to take you to the house with me." Preacher, in the world we live in today, is anybody with me? I got to hurry. I want you to get the mindset, though. I want you to get rid of the mindset that the rich man was some evil person. And I want you to understand something. We're all rich. I need somebody. Y'all got to hear me right here. You and I identify more with that rich man than we do with Lazarus. I need somebody with a big belly to say amen. I may not be faring sumptuously all the time, but man, I have some pretty good meals. I ain't gonna lie about it. I mean, I ain't got the best of clothes, but I've got some pretty nice clothes. Everybody talk about my fancy shoes, $50, and you can have a pair just like them. Everybody all right? They comfortable too. Man, we like to talk. Man, the truth is that if we were comparing our lives with the two men that are in the story, we most line up with the rich man. And I believe that Jesus didn't say anything bad about him because he knew you'd be sitting in church at Calvary Baptist in Lake Park trying to justify why he's burning in hell and Lazarus wasn't. Stay with me. So, what do we learn from this story? I want you to know, first off, I want you to see the facts of hell. The fact of hell is this, is that it's no respecter of persons. Just because you have some things and just because you have been entrusted with money or whatever in this life does not mean that you avoid hell in the next. I noticed the fact about hell here was that it happened immediately. Did anybody else notice that? The Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man died and was buried, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. It was pretty quick. Man, one of the things I got out of this study was the angels was the pallbearers for Lazarus. Because the Bible doesn't tell us anything about him being buried. Oh, I need somebody. There were some angels that carried Lazarus, but they was men that carried the rich man. The fact of the matter is that just because you got means and just because you got things together and it seems like everything in your life is working like as it should, doesn't mean that you'll avoid hell. I need everybody to look at me. We're not praying yet. We ain't got to the invitation just yet. Y'all stay with me. We like to deny it. We don't want to deal with it. But the fact about hell is that it is real. Who said it? Jesus. Now, if you know your scripture, you know that what you and I think of as hell is the lake of fire, and that's Gehenna, and that's not what this passage is. This passage is hell. It's Hades. But it's still every much as bit as hell as the lake of fire. There will be a resurrection from this, and this rich man will be resurrected from this, and he will stand at the great white throne of judgment, and he will end up in the lake of fire. See, the fact is that if you and I don't deal with hell on this side of the dirt, there's a good chance that we'll face it on the other side. Now, before I lose you, let me help you with something. The Bible says about this hell, the man said, hey, how about sending Lazarus over that he could just dip the tip of his finger in water and place just a drop on my tongue? And Abraham said, no, it don't work that way. Abraham, let us know. And the story here, Jesus let us know by the words of Abraham that there was a great gulf fixed and that those that were on this side couldn't go over there and those that are on that side can't come over here. In other words, once you're there, the fact of hell is preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that we have to deal with this today. I need everybody to look up at me. Everybody, look up at me. Hey, I love you. And I'm not going to run past the fire and tell you that, and not tell you. I'm sounding an alarm. I know you've heard the alarm before, but I'm sounding an alarm just in case you've decided to wait to make sure that there is a fire. I'm sounding the alarm again. Matter of fact, if I could, I'd snatch you out of that chair and make sure you didn't get burned. So I need you to pay attention. I need you to look at me. I need you to just forget whatever's going on, forget the phone and everything else. And listen, I'd hate to meet Jesus. I'd hate to meet Jesus having been distracted by everything else in the world and not receiving him. Say, but I've done all kind of things for Jesus. Jesus spoke of that too. He said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, and I'll say unto them, depart from me, for I never knew you. So we can't base it off of what we did. As we look at this, I ain't got time to preach it all, but the facts of hell is that every one of us could end up there. The fact of hell, I don't even need to preach another point in it, I don't think. But the fact of hell is that you can't get yourself out of it. I wrote this down, the falsehood of hell. That was my last point. I had 5 points, but y'all ain't getting all five this morning, obviously. But the falsehood of hell is this. I can work my way out of it. I can do this or I can do that. Man, that's what religion is today. Stay with me. That's what religion is today. We got a group of people over here on this side of us, and they tell you, hey, man, if you get saved, you'll start speaking in other languages. But if you sin, you got to get saved again. So in other words, it's all up to you to keep your salvation. You're going to have to keep working at it. You're going to have to keep getting saved. Got somebody on the other side of us that says, hey, hold on a minute. Can't be saved unless somebody baptizes you at our church, and it's got to be me. See how easy it is to add works to salvation? The fact of the matter is if it was up to me or if it was up to baptism, Jesus would have never had to hung on a cross. I mean, don't you think for 1 minute that if Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, that God, who the Bible says all things are possible with, wouldn't have come up with another way? Y'all got to help me. I mean, it just seems to reason if God can do all things and nothing's impossible with God and Jesus cries to the Father and says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It just seems to reason that. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's no other way. I think even Jesus said that. I am the way, truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Funny how all this stuff just ties in, don't it? Listen to me this morning. Fact of hell is that if you don't do business with God on this side of the dirt, you'll face hell on the other. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. There's no I'll get right on my deathbed. You don't know when that day is going to come. As I said in the funeral, Thursday, I stood in that same room. I preached a funeral for Miss Helen's brother this past week, 71 years old, laid to rest. But I've also stood in that room with teenagers, 22-year-olds. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you don't know. when your day is. That's a fact. You're not in control of it. The fury of hell. Did you not hear Jesus? Over and over again, he describes it as torments. Did y'all notice that? Did you notice it had an S on it? Now, I ain't much of an English scholar. If you talk to me very long, you'll figure it out. Matter of fact, my best grades were in English because my wife wrote my papers.
Hallelujah.
I need somebody to say amen. Amen. We make a good pair. I'm real good with numbers. She's good with English. I ain't, I isn't, I wasn't, and I won't be. Is everybody all right? But I do know that when you put an S on the end of the world, on the end of that word, it means more than one. I don't know what all he was going through other than to look at other parts of the Bible and find out that he was in total darkness, gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not, total darkness, fire and brimstone. Just putting it out there. The fury of hell. World's convinced us that we're going to go to hell and have a party. I'm going to get with all my friends in hell. We're going to have a party. Not going to be a party. Matter of fact, the rich man said it like this, just a drop of water. Just a drop of water. I can't remember my outline, y'all. Y'all forgive me. I'm getting back up there. The facts of hell, the fury of hell, the finality of hell, the great gulf fix, no passage from here to there. How about this one, the fear of hell? This was good. The fear of hell. Rich man said, hey, send Lazarus back. I got five brothers. World have you to believe that, hey, we're going to have a party, we're going to have a good time in hell. But the rich man said, please don't let my brothers come here. Please. Don't let my brothers come here. Don't let my family come here. Don't let my loved ones come here. It's funny that he would say that when the world tries to convince us that we're going to have a good time there. The falsehood of hell, and I'm done. Dalton's going to the piano. Where you at, son? The falsehood of hell. My good works will keep me out. The falsehood of hell is my supposed blessings. Man, if I've heard this once, I heard 100 times. My supposed blessings. In other words, this. Saying, but God's blessing me. Look at how good God's been to me. My supernatural experience. Y'all stay with me. Because we've had people see angels. We've had people see this and see that. Have visions and all this other stuff. Abraham made it real simple. He said, if they won't believe the Bible, then they're not going to believe though one raised from the dead. People are looking for a sign, man. Here's your sign. We're looking for some supernatural event, some feeling or something like that. I need somebody to help me. The good news is contained right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us all we need to know about ourselves, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know who he's talking about? You. Everybody look at me. You. That's it. Listen to this. For all. Say it with me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From the preacher, right on down to the worst shot in the building, Jesse. Some of y'all get that, some won't. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, in one place there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible tells us all of our righteousnesses is plural. I know, like I said, no, I'm not an English major, but I know that S and that ES stuff. I know. Righteousness is our filthy rags. Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse number 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, I love that. Didn't say I might be saved, it said I shall be saved. Which makes 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13 make a lot of sense when it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the Son of God. It's amazing how that Bible works. This morning, the question to you is this. Are you risking an eternity in hell because you're worried about what somebody might think about you, what somebody might say about you? Say, preacher, I can't live up to all that stuff in the church. Me neither. I need somebody to help me. I can't either. I have a hard time putting my shoes on without getting mad. I need somebody to help me. I can't drive. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but I can't drive with the people in Lowndes County. I got some people testifying. Do y'all even know what the laws are? I need somebody to help me. I mean, as a Christian, I have a hard time getting from point A to point B living around here. When we start putting rules on everything, and we start living up to this and living up to that, we really, what we're doing is we're making religion out of it. I'm not interested in religion. And I think if you read your Bible, you'll find out that Jesus wasn't interested in religion either. What made the difference between Lazarus and the rich man was a relationship. Lazarus had a relationship. Though he looked like everything in the world was against him, he had a relationship with Christ. That rich man, he had everything the world had to offer, but he had no relationship. This morning, where do you sit in? Two different worlds. You can't get farther apart than the two men that Jesus told us about. Which tells me that every one of us fall somewhere in between. So this morning, do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you died sitting in a chair, where are you at right now? Don't look at nobody else. The fact about hell is this. Another fact about hell is, Jesus is not going to confer with somebody else about your spiritual walk. He's not going to go to your mama and daddy and say, hey, did y'all pray enough for him? He's not going to go to your pastor and say, hey, did they attend church enough? Remember, it was about a relationship. Everybody with me? So this morning, do you have that relationship? Heads are bowed with me. Bo, go get ready for baptism, man. I'm going to dunk you, boy. Heads bowed this morning. Nobody's looking around. If you died sitting in that chair, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Y'all, this sermon's been on my heart for over a week. We don't hear this kind of preaching in churches. It's sad. There's another message that's being told to people that God wants to bless you and God wants to give you this. And God, what God wants to give you is eternal life. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. So this morning, won't you take this opportunity to deal with it today? Say, I'll wait, preacher. Probably many people in hell said, I'll wait, preacher. I remember in Scripture one who said, when I have a convenient time, a convenient season. Another one in Scripture said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This morning, if you say, preacher, I'm not sure if I was to die, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. That's all I want you to do. Thank you. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. You can put your head down. I ain't embarrassing you. Is there anybody else? To be honest, I'm standing right here at the front. Not going to embarrass you or send anybody to you. Thank you. You put your head down. Anybody else? Ain't no shame in it. I remember September 28, 1997, sending a church service, not knowing where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. No shame in it. Preacher, I don't know. Is there anybody else? Now listen, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to pray for you. This prayer ain't saving you. I want to make that very obvious right now. But I'm going to pray, and we'll continue on with the invitation. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, several have looked up this morning. Several, Lord, have displayed the faith that it takes to be saved. Lord, just by admitting, Lord, that they are lost. Lord, I pray today will be the day of salvation. For it is appointed unto man once to die. And you and I, Lord, we don't know when that day is. Lord, I'm asking you to do a work, Lord, that I can. All I can do is preach to the ears. But God, you can preach to the heart. Lord, the Holy Spirit is working and has been since we opened our Bible. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, these individuals have the courage, Lord, to take the step that many of us have taken, that I have taken. Put my fear aside. Put my faith in you. Lord, I pray that you would do that now. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed with me. If you looked up at me, listen. I'm standing down front. If you looked up at me, I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come right here. I'm begging you. Please let me help you this morning. Come on. Stay with me. Eyes still closed. It's all right. You're more welcome to come. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Several looked up. Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Won't you come? Let's not say we'll wait and do it tomorrow or another day. Let's get this thing settled today. I need another lady with a Bible. Come on, Ms. Logan. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I sure am thankful, Lord, that you love us. Lord, you've been good to us. Give us a good church service today. God, blessed us with your presence today. Lord, I pray that you continue to work. Lives will continue to be changed. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all look at this. This youngin' right here, when he came, was that tall. This was the one I was telling my Sunday school class. We used to have bow offerings. Y'all getting off easy since COVID. Because when we did bow offerings, he walked up and down the aisles and he wouldn't move unless you put money in the plate. Man, we got out of debt because of this youngin'. Y'all give him a hand. Anyhow, I love Bo. I sure do appreciate him. He wanted me to baptize him this morning, and so I appreciate the honor to be able to do that. I'm thankful for Bo and his family. They're some of the greatest people I know, and I sure am thankful for them. So, Bo, because of your profession of faith, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you, boy. Amen. Be careful. Don't fall. Praise the Lord. We're out of debt. Don't need a lawsuit. God been good this morning. Y'all give me a minute. Where's the towel at? Throw it at me. Hey. We're going to need to install an elevator. Wednesday night. Preached Wednesday night and the Lord was moving. Preacher, if you preached before, and I got pastors and preachers around here, missionaries, you know, you see God working in somebody and Holy Spirit convicting them. And anyhow, my heart's been burdened all week. Been praying for an individual that came Wednesday night. She's getting saved right now. May not mean nothing to you because you didn't pray like I did. But I sure am thankful. God gave another opportunity. May not mean nothing to you. A lot of people, religion's just it's a game. Money maker. You notice I didn't ask you for your money this morning. If you want to give to our church, you'll find a way. Oh, I need somebody to help me. So let me just dispel all your thoughts. The only reason I want y'all here is for your money. When I came here, the church was negative $5,583 in the hole. Is everybody all right? Yeah. Somebody said, yeah. God bless this church. It wasn't because of individuals. It was because God put his hand on it. A bunch of people got saved. A bunch of people said, I want to invest back in what God's done in my life. Stay with me. I don't know why you came this morning. I'm glad you're here. But I want to dispel the thought that this is all fun and games. Because Luke chapter number 16 was written in red. Try to get that point across to you. That was the words of our Savior. That was the ones that came. That was the words of the one that came and died for you. This morning, if you want to get this thing settled, we're fixing to dismiss. I'll be around because I'm going to take pictures with Bo. Hug on his family a little bit. But I'd be more than happy to sit down with a Bible and show you how you where the rich man went. I mean that with all I am. I'm not interested in anything but making sure your eternity things with Him. Lord, we love You. God, we do thank You, Lord, for Your many blessings. Thank You for this morning. Thank You for those that got saved today. Lord, thank You for the one baptized. Lord, the people that are a part of this church. We love You and we're thankful for the mercy, God, that You give to all of us. Thank You for Your mercy on my life. Lord, I'm thankful I'm alive to tell the story. Lord, I pray that You continue to use the good news to reach the lost. Lord, I pray.